It is surprising to see how much of Jesus' ministry was invested in the education and preparation of his disciples. You see, the transfiguration was a key factor in this process of that educational journey. Like so many other experiences, the transfiguration seemed to be more mystery than education to the three disciples, Peter, James, and John, who witnessed the event. You see, these three disciples clearly did not understand what was happening. But the transfiguration takes place along with so many other puzzling experiences, which would become clear much later. Any profound education has in it notable pieces of puzzling information. Puzzling information and experience, the importance of which evolves over a period of time. The transfiguration took place as Jesus was about to set out for Jerusalem. So many things would be said and done on the way to and into Jerusalem that would be over the heads of the disciples. Have you ever been somewhere and listened to someone speak? Listened to maybe sitting in a college classroom sometimes and listening to all these things, and all of a sudden you're like, it just kind of goes all over your head, just goes right by you. You can't quite get it. You're like, I'm here, but I don't understand. I'm listening, but not with understanding and comprehension. That's kind of how it was for the disciples that day. You see, lots of things happened on the way to Jerusalem. So many things would be said and done on the way and into Jerusalem, just like they always have been. And there are going to be things that challenge. There are going to be things that make us think. There's going to be things that changes our heart and our mind. But we're not quite sure. The greatest of all frustrating puzzles was yet to come, and that was going to be the cross. The cross in which our Savior died, that was going to be the most puzzling things for His disciples up until the very end. Soon Jesus would be snatched from their midst in what to them was a heart-rending tragedy that would leave them in a profound state of shock. His words and deeds, which they had so vaguely understood, would continue to instruct them later on. You see, this is what we know about what happened on that unnamed mountain. You see, it doesn't have a name in the mountain, is it? In the Bible, it says they went up to the mountain. They went up on a mountain. They went up to the mountain to pray. So many different things. But as we later on, after they came back down, what do we call it? The Mount of Transfiguration, because that's where it took place. There's so many things here that we don't know. They went up to the mountain to pray. See, the three chosen disciples that day must have been tired. They dozed while Jesus prayed. A scene that would be repeated later on in this gospel in the 22nd chapter, verse 46, when they were at the Garden of Gethsemane. They fell asleep once again. They awoke to see Jesus in a transformed appearance. He was shining. He was just something they could see, but it was shiny and bright. Jesus was talking with two individuals whom the disciples recognized them to be Moses and Elijah. Well, now, lots of time has taken place from the Old Testament to the New Testament, over 2,000 years in word and deed. So how in the world do these disciples of the New Testament know what Moses and Elijah looked like? From the stories that had been told them, from the description of the things, all of a sudden they just knew that it was Moses and Elijah. And they also had that glorious splendor about them. They were also adorned about them. They glowed in their appearance. They were discussing Jesus' departure, which would take place in Jerusalem, where they all were headed. And when the disciples were fully awake and the heavenly duo was about to leave, because Elijah and Moses are going to be gone just as quickly as they come, Peter felt called upon to say a few words. Now, Peter is one of those people that's in your midst that you might have grown up with in a church. I can think of somebody in my past when I was growing up as a little kid in our church, and he always had a few more words to share with us. And here comes Peter, says, "I feel called to say something, Lord." And you're always thinking, Peter, why don't you be quiet? And I used to think to myself when this gentleman would always pray for hours on end, seemed like it to me, or when he would stand up and pontificate about something, it would go on and on and on, and no one was paying attention. It was boring, I thought. But Peter, that day, felt called upon to say something, as he often did throughout the Scriptures, and he proposed enshrining this experience with three tabernacles, or three booths, three little things that he would build, each one for Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And the biblical text said that Peter did not know what he was saying. Peter did not understand yet what was happening. While Peter was still offering his commentary, they were consumed by a cloud, all of them. An unseen voice from within that cloud said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." You see, that apostolic trio that was there that day was so mystified and terrified by what they did not understand. They did not quite understand. They were just terrified. And guess what? They didn't tell anybody. They were afraid. But you know something? That's what happens. If we were to see something like that, when something happens to us that we can't explain, it's hard to describe those things that happen that transform us and change us. We know what happens to us. We know what that feeling was. But trying to explain it sometimes is so very difficult. And that's, I think, what happened to Peter and James and John. They were terrified. They did not tell anyone until much, much later on. Little wonder at their silence. You would be afraid. I would have been afraid too. How could they explain what they had just been a part of? How could they explain what they had just seen? Okay, here's Jesus. He's been preaching and teaching and walking and talking with us for a long time. And here he is, and we wake up, and there he is, all glowing white, transformed before us. And here we are, two more individuals with him that we think are Moses and Elijah, and they are the same way. Okay, and then all of a sudden, we're all in this cloud, and all of a sudden this voice from beyond starts telling us, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." You'd be terrified too. You'd be afraid. You see, the next day they came down from that mountain. They came down from that mount of transfiguration. Before they could consider trying to understand what had happened, they were suddenly in the middle of an uproar over a failed attempt of the remaining nine disciples who were left down on the bottom lowland ground to heal a child suffering from seizures. To heal a child who was convulsing over having a seizure. Right in the midst of all that, that's what they come back down to. Taken by itself, what does Luke 9, 28 through 45 have to say to you and I today? It is important for us to go to the mountaintop. It is important for us to be exposed to the glory and the awe of heavenly things, even if we do not understand them. It is wonderful for us to go and have that experience. Even in our own ignorance, something of the importance of that situation, of such an experience, will somehow penetrate our hearts, our minds, our lives. It'll be something that will change us. Many glorious mysteries which puzzle and frighten us at that time later on serve to give us strength and confidence as we eventually discern their meaning. It will help us to grow. It will help us to achieve. It will help us to be there. It does not be too exposed to some kind of experience. You know, it does not hurt us. It does not hurt us to be exposed to something that's different, unusual, to some experience for which we are not prepared, but for which time will prepare us. You see, things happen in this world like that all the time, and we can't explain it. We don't understand it, but it prepares our hearts and our minds for things yet to come. You see, you and I are not much unlike Peter. We can remind ourselves, we can look in the mirror and see Peter within our own heart and soul. We can see times when we should have kept our mouth shut and sat down. We see times when, "Lord, why did I even say such a thing?" We can see ourselves in him all the time, who, while he did not really know what was going on, he knew instinctively that something great was about to happen. He knew something had taken place. He wanted to freeze that moment in time because he didn't quite understand it. Let this moment last forever. But life, you see, does not work that way. There is always in this world suffering and anger and confusion and hurt that awaits the attention and ministry of those who have been to the mountaintop. It is essential to go to the mountain and stay there for a little while. It is good for us to go to the top of that mountain, but it is also very selfish for us to stay there, to stay in that experience. You see, there must be a balance between the ecstatic inspiration and the existential application. You see, that which we experience and gives us that greatness, we need to come back down and share it as we apply it to the world we live in. We need that. We need that. I once heard a preacher at a dedication of a church which had been built by many laborers during very difficult times. He said this, "This is a place where workers dream and dreamers work. A place where workers dream and dreamers work." You see, we must move constantly back and forth from the top of the mountain to the valley of human need, from transfiguration to application, from profound mystery to practical ministry. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word this day. We thank you, Lord, for those disciples who you chose to go with you to those places. As you chose them to go to the mountain with you, as you chose them to come and stay for a little while, as you chose them to learn. And Lord, you know in their trying that they failed. You know, Lord, that in their wanting to be closer to you, they failed. But guess what? They didn't completely. They learned a great deal that changed them that day. They learned a great deal that would go with them throughout a lifetime. They learned a great deal that they can share with the world. You see, when they came down off of that mountain to the human need of that child, and of course Jesus was frustrated at the ones who were there because they hadn't been listening, they hadn't been paying attention, and he called them a faithless people. So Lord, this day, remind us that you prepare us for inspiration and application. We need to be inspired by the things of your word and your works, and we need to go out and apply them to where we live. So Lord, this day, be with us. Hold us close as we prepare our hearts and our minds to come to your table. It's in your name we pray. Amen.